Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. It is so great to be with you. What a day to be the church together, and what a chance to be able to gather as people of God, near and far, and worship as people of God. Just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship together. A reminder that the third session for the Wholeness class will be tomorrow, Monday, March 15th at 7 p.m. That class will be taking place over Zoom. The First Communion class has been rescheduled due to the weather for Saturday, March 20th. That's this next Saturday, and the time will still be 9:30 to 11:30. A reminder that cinnamon roll orders are due this week, Wednesday, March 17th. Those cinnamon roll orders go to support the youth programs here at church. Pickup for orders will be on March 24th. That's a Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. Also on Saturday, March 27th, from that same time, 1 to 3 p.m., as you're picking up your cinnamon rolls, we'll also be hosting our first ever Palms to Go event. This is a way for us to celebrate Palm Sunday together, and so we encourage you to stop by the church 1 to 3 p.m. to pick up your palms, your communion kits for all of Holy Week, as well as some great crafts and activities for the whole family to do throughout Holy Week. Let us really make this a chance for us to be church together, whether we're gathered in our homes or whether we are meeting here in person for those services. That's all the announcements I have for you today. At this time, we will begin our time of worship by sharing of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to greet one another with a sign of God's peace and know that all the people of God are extending that same peace to you, whether near or far. We turn now to our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God hears us when we cry and draws us close in Jesus Christ. So let us return to the one who is full of compassion, confessing our sin before God and one another. We'll take a moment for silent reflection. Fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the way of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on grace. By the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God, our sins are forgiven, and God remembers them no more. Together, let us now journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. We join in singing our opening hymn.
To our right hand.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue this morning with our lessons.
Today's first reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. Though God provides food and water for the Israelites in the wilderness, they whine and grumble. They forget about the salvation they experienced in the Exodus. God punishes them for their sin, but when they repent, God also provides a means of healing, a bronze serpent lifted up on a pole. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3 and 17 through 22. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hand of the foe, gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some were fools and took rebellious paths. Through their sins they were afflicted. They loathed all manner of food and drew near to death's door. Then, in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress. You sent forth your word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy. Today's second lesson is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. While we were dead in our sinfulness, God acted to make us alive as a gift of grace in Christ Jesus. We are saved not by what we do, but by grace through faith. Thus, our good works are really a reflection of God's grace at work in our lives. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. And people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship today with the children's sermon. Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone's doing really well out there. I want you to know how much we miss you around church. So today I thought I'd sit on the step like we usually do, and I wish that you were sitting right in front of me, and it's not going to be long. We're starting to change things around here, and things are going to get back to normal. And very, very soon, we'll all be together again. I just can't wait. You know, it's because we love you. And I'm thinking today about love. I'm thinking about God's love in particular. You know, God loves us so much. I was hoping that maybe today we could measure God's love and figure out how much God loves us. So the first thing is I brought today is a measuring cup. And you know, this is one cup and it holds liquids and like that when you're baking a cake or doing those kind of things. And I thought, I wonder if we can measure God's love using a measuring cup. Well, I don't think it's going to work. Because in Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," you know, and all that. And in that psalm, it says, "My cup overflows." It's hard to measure something if it's flowing over the edges of the cup. I mean, it's so much that it can't fit into this kind of cup. That's awesome. Well, what about this? I brought a tape measure. And, you know, this is 25 feet long. And so if I go to measure something, I can go 25 feet. Well, that's not going to work either, because one of the Psalms also says that God's love is higher than the heavens. Wow. I am pretty sure that this tape measure is not going to measure all the way up above the heavens. God loves you more than that. Okay, I've got one more. It's a clock. Tick tock, right? And this measures time. So how long does God love us? There's another psalm that says God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. From forever to forever. That's a really, really long time. I don't think the clock is going to help us measure that. Anyway, all things considered, how much God loves us? God loves us so much that he sent his son into the world, Jesus, to let us know. And that's what we're doing here at church. We're trying to let you know so that you really understand that God loves you. Jesus told us to tell you that. And Jesus, he loved us so much that he died for us. And that's just amazing that somebody would love us that much. Anyway, God's love is more than it'll fit in a cup. It's higher than heaven, and it's forever. And that's the love that God has given you and me and everybody else. So, capiche? Kaposh. Let's have a prayer, shall we? Here we go. Dear God, thank you so much for sending us Jesus, who taught us how deep and wide and big and huge your love is for us. Help us to remember that Jesus came to love us and the whole world. Help us to be full of your love and to share it with others. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen. All right. I'll see you next time. See you soon. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. So this photo I'm showing you today, this is Mrs. Joyce Bees, like bzz, bees. She was my fifth grade teacher. She taught fifth grade for 25 years in my hometown. She was an institution. She was an inspiration. She taught me how to play canasta and all kinds of other games because Mrs. Bees lived across the street, kitty corner from our house. Every morning, weather permitting, Mrs. Bees rowed her little weather-worn rowboat across the middle lake outside of Cibola, and then she'd row back home again every day. And the whole time, she would sing hymns while she rowed. Her voice would carry across the still waters of the middle lake. We sang in the classroom, too. Every morning after we stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance, she would lead us in some patriotic song like America the Beautiful or My Country Tis of Thee or one of those songs. I loved Mrs. Bees. She was a great teacher. She was a smart teacher. You know how fifth graders, at least way back in the day, we're trying to figure out how relationships worked. You're about that age where you start to think about that. And you weren't sure how you were supposed to act around, in my case, girls. And there was this constant testing of the waters to see if you were something that other people might be interested in. Mostly, it was about sitting by someone at lunch or having your buddy say something really embarrassing about you in front of a girl or passing a note. And the note passing, it was way out of control in our fifth grade class. But like I said, Mrs. Bees was a smart teacher, and she implemented a postal system in order to control the rampant, hormone-driven exchange of nonsense that was happening all day long. So there was this little bit of time during the day when we could sit at our desk and we could write down a letter. We could write a person a letter. You'd have to address it in the right way so that it would reach its destination. You had to have a return address and a pretend stamp, and then you'd go to the front of the room and drop it into the mailbox. Then at the end of the day, the person who was designated as the postmaster would open the box and deliver all the letters to the appropriate people. Now, you have to know, I sent my fair share of like letters, mostly to someone named Cool Cat Number 3. That's what she called herself. And I received some back, but the content of the letters were always the same. Do you like me? Yes. No. Maybe so. Check a box. Just kids being kids. But it's an important question, one that stays with us almost the whole course of our lives. Do you like me? Or to put a finer point on it, do you love me? Because one of our basic human needs as we make our journey here on life is to be loved. It doesn't matter if you're a newborn baby who is just taking your first breath, or if you're a old crusty curmudgeon who would never admit that you need to be loved. You do. We all do. We all need to hear, we all need to feel loved. We need to know that the significant people in our lives will love us, come hell or high water. We need to know that when we mess up, they are going to be right there standing by our sides. We need to understand that no matter who we are or who we will be in the future, there's someone who's going to be there, loving us always and forever. And I'm sure you've figured this all out by now, where I'm going today, because our first love, first and foremost, whether we admit it or not, is God. We need the love of God. That's where it all begins, because as the Bible says, God is love. And honestly, if we don't have that initial relationship with God straight in our heads and our hearts, it does mess up everything else. It's a strange thing. I don't know if this happened to you, but in my teenage years, I wasn't always good. Maybe you were, but I wasn't. I wasn't really sure that I was worthy of God's love. For a long time, I thought God was just waiting for me to do the next bad thing, to screw up once again. And well, to be honest, it didn't take long for me to fulfill that prediction. The problem was in here. I thought God had these really high expectations of me. The way I was supposed to live, the way I was supposed to think, the way I was supposed to act. And quite frankly, I wasn't doing very good. If I didn't follow all the rules, how could God possibly love me? God's standard was way up here, and my reality was way down here. And never the twain shall meet. Even at that young age, I knew right from wrong what I should and should not be doing, that I shouldn't feel the way that I felt sometimes, like I shouldn't feel anger and I shouldn't feel lust and I shouldn't feel joy when I hurt or embarrass other people, which I did. I knew I shouldn't feel hate and I shouldn't feel despair and I shouldn't feel, you fill in the blanks of whatever negative feeling that you can think of. I thought it, I lived it, I did it. I was constantly caught up in how I should live my life. During that time of my life, I should all over myself. Have you ever done that? Are you doing it right now? Well, when I had thoughts or feelings that were contrary to the will of God, I would be embarrassed of myself. And I'd want to hide that part of my life. I would beat myself up. I'd try to convince myself that I was definitely not good enough for God, that I was not living up to what God had created me to be. And so I knew there was no way possible that God could love me in the middle of my human depravity. But you know, right? That's really bad theology. and it misses the entire point of Christ. I mean, yes, there was this great divide, right, between who we are and who God was. There was this chasm that was fixed between us. And on God's side was holiness and purity and goodness and love and peace and everything that was bright and shiny. And on our side was sin. That's what we brought to the table. That's what we had to offer our God. So how is that supposed to work? I told you this before, that if God zapped all the sin and impurity out of me, all that would be left were a pair of smoking tennis shoes sitting here on the altar. But then God did something miraculous for us. First, he loved the world. Now listen, not the universe, not the planet, not Earth. God loved the inhabitants of the earth, the human family, the vast multitude, not just the good people, not just the church people, but the whole massive mess of human beings who were alienated from God. Us. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to stand not as a bridge in the middle of the chasm to connect us to God. Jesus came the whole way. Jesus came to our side of the deal. Jesus was God incarnate in our flesh and our bone, one of us, with the same human frailties and struggles that we bear every day. And Jesus actually bore the weight of our sin. So you know that time when you wondered if you're loved by God? Did you know Jesus, who was one of us, wondered the same thing? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So you think you're unworthy to receive the forgiveness of God? Jesus talked about that too. Even when we were nailing him to the cross and killing the very Son of God, Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. You think you are beyond hope? God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, sent you a living, breathing message to let you know that the answer is yes. Yes, I love you. And now as a result, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to hide in the shadows of doubt and fear anymore. We don't have to be embarrassed about who we are. We don't have to worry about whether or not we are good enough for God, because we weren't. But now, thanks to Jesus, we are. So we can be free. We don't have to live in bondage to the idea that we are not worthy. We don't have to live under the fear of God's constant judgment. Now we can come before God and we can just tell the truth. We can just come into the light of Christ and let our hearts be exposed to God with nothing to hide, absolutely nothing to hide, because this is who I am. We can lay down those things that separate us from God. Just give it up. I mean, come on. You know that God knows who we are already, right? I mean, we can fool, we can trick the people around us every single day. We can act like we are God's gift to the world. We can use words that make other people think that we're smart, and we can do things that make other people think that we are good people. We can pretend all day long, but you can't fool God. So stop trying. Stop hiding. Stop thinking that part of our life that is contrary to God can somehow continue to live in the shadows apart from the knowledge of God. Stop loving that part that takes us away from telling God the truth about who we are. Confess. Confess with me what we have done and what we have left undone. Come on. You know this in your heart and in your bones. God already knows who you are. So give it up. Just be honest with God. Come to God. Step into the light of Christ and let your heart and mind be seen and fully exposed to the brightness of God. And know that in that light, there is life and forgiveness and hope. Because the lie that we live, it makes no sense. It's illogical. Because if we're okay, if we're practically perfect, if we're doing just fine all on our own, if we can accomplish the goodness of God all by ourselves, then we don't really need Christ, do we? If we're all good, then why did God send Jesus to die? So next time you are uncertain or struggling with who you are, or feeling bad for something you've done, or feeling insecure about your relationship with God, and you question, do you love me, God? Yes, no, maybe so. Look to the cross. The answer is right there. The yes box has been permanently checked. The covenant has been fulfilled through the blood of Christ. That was for you. That's for me. To make us right with God. You don't think you're good enough to be loved by God? Well, friend, you need to take that up with Jesus. He gave up absolutely everything to assure you. And to assure me that we are loved. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue today by singing the hymn of the day.
Make us your own, your holy people.
Together, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. And he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with all the people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, that through Christ all have been reconciled, all has been redeemed. We thank you for the gift of faith, that we may know and cherish this amazing gift of grace. Help us to live into this gift, bearing the fruits of new, real life, so that our neighbors may also experience the joy of your promise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ, we praise you for your gift of love, for revealing to us the true nature of God, and for your call for us to follow you. As we journey to the cross, help us along the journey. Encourage us to remain steadfast in your promise of life, and strengthen us for the most difficult and challenging days that will come our way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for calling us here. We thank you for gathering us together as a community of faith, for helping us to see the gift that is ever present for us and for all. We thank you for the gift of being called children of God. Help us to be a community that supports and encourages one another and sees one another as beloved children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, be with those who are in need this day. Make your presence known, and where we have the opportunity, may you be present in us as we seek to love and serve our siblings in need. Today we pray for Stephanie, for Tony, Denise, Nadine, Louise, Bob, Joanne, for Marnie, Anne, Roger, Carl, and Ryan, as well as all those whom we hold in our hearts and minds this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, you are indeed holy and merciful. We thank you that we have been reminded of your great promise, and we pray that as we move into another week, you would continue to remind us of your great faithfulness. We gather as a community to lift one another up in prayer, and living into this hope, we pray for those who are gathered on our left and those who are on our right. We pray for those who are gathered near and far. Be with us all as we seek to live out our vocations in this world, and help us to love and serve our neighbors as you have loved us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with our morning's offering. We'll use this time to reflect on this great promise of God's deep love for us. Thank you. continue now with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn.
Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love. O name of might and favor, all other names above. We worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing. We praise thee and confess thee, our holy Lord and King.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. And so we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and blessed it, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My friends, fellow people of God, let us join in this meal of grace together. This is the body of Christ, and it is given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of steadfast love, at this table you gather your people into one body for the sake of the world. Send us out in the power of your Spirit that our lives may bear witness to the love that has made us new. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. beloved in Christ. You are who God has made you to be, created in Christ Jesus for good works, chosen as holy and beloved, freed to serve your neighbor. May God bless you, that you may be a blessing, in the name of the holy and life-giving Trinity. Amen. We join together in singing our sending hymn. Peace. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.